Welcome to Thinking Aloud. This is Abhishek, your host. The news of universities going online has created a huge uproar. There is a huge question whether universities should still retain the existing fee structure. The assumption being online classes are less valuable than an in-person class. If you can get a certification from edX and Coursera, why go to an MIT? Just take MITx. But is that true? Well, in order to understand that, I checked out the success of universities around the world who run distance programs and tried to understand how different they are from usual regular brick and mortar universities and how they are dealing with the changes during COVID. I was searching for some institution that has created an impact and came across UNISA, the University of South Africa. Here are a few statistics that baffled me. UNISA is the largest university in South Africa by enrollment, and it attracts a third of all higher education students in South Africa. It boasts of international student enrollment from about 130 countries worldwide, and Nelson Mandela as its notable alumni. This conversation definitely won't set a ready-made template to go full-fledged online, but the discussion might help traditional brick-and-mortar universities to understand the finer points of student engagement, assessment, and delivery mechanisms. I reached out to a lecturer in Afrikaans, Lisandra Grunle. She agreed to share a sneak peek into UNISA's way of working and her perspective of the current situation. Welcome to Thinking Aloud, Lisandra.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be part of this podcast, Abhishek. I really appreciate it. And I hope that the topic we discuss today will be helpful to the education community.
UNISA is an out-and-out online university. If I have to believe the trends, then UNISA should be least affected. Is that true?
Abhishek, yes. UNISA is out-and-out an online university, as you stated, but UNISA has also been affected by this pandemic. The main reason is that even extremely large universities and online universities such as UNISA cannot exclusively offer online options only, because that would eliminate the possibility of obtaining a degree for students who do not have regular access to the internet. So one area of operations that has had to change, for UNISA at least, is the way that we administer our exams. So the university has had to switch from a system that allows for online or venue-based exams to a non-venue-based online exam option only. And this has presented some challenges concerning capacity issues and connectivity, as well as data for students. So even though we had all these problems, the university has worked tirelessly throughout this exam period to make this change possible. And even though there were some problems at times, the university was in fact able to solve the problems and complete the exam period successfully. So just like any other university, this has been a learning curve for us, and this will assist us in implementing online assessment with greater success in the future.
These challenges are very different from what a brick and mortar university is facing, but still should provide valuable insights to them. How has administering exams changed for UNISA? What tools are you using now? What's the assessment strategy?
So the major change for us has been moving all exams to an online format. So we have been using an online system in the past to assess assignments. Now we've been using this for about the last 5 years or so. So we didn't have to implement and test such an assessment option from scratch. So the only change has really been the fact that students could access and upload their exams using different options created on the existing learning management system. And I think to some extent, this actually decreased the amount of stress to the students, since they could use a system that they are already familiar with to access and upload exams. The university has also made use of a scanner app during this exam period, which allowed students to scan and upload handwritten exams. And this was extremely important because some students either don't have regular access to a computer or they don't feel comfortable working on a computer. So they had the option to still write out their answers by hand and then scan and upload these answers. Now, in order to make sure that we monitored and revised the online examination process throughout the exam period, UNISA made it possible for lecturers to report any issues on the day the exam paper was downloaded and once the exam paper was completed. Now, as the quality assurance representative for my department, I can say that we did not experience any major issues. And furthermore, lecturers made sure to communicate with students throughout the exam period using the learning management system, email and SMS. Now, this added some administrative load, but it was definitely necessary in order to ease the stress of the students. Now, I actually created a Telegram group that was active for the duration of the exam, which was 2 days in my case. So this way, students could immediately contact me at any time with urgent inquiries, and this really assisted them in managing their stress. However, this route does take a lot of effort from the lecturer. You must be willing to answer questions constantly throughout the dedicated period. And it also becomes a bit of a difficult task when you have a module with almost 1,000 students. Now, university-wide feedback from students concerning the exam did show a positive attitude among the students who actually completed this review. So around 75% of students said that they found this online exam experience to be positive. And that's a really positive indication for the university as well. Now, personally, I don't think the pandemic has affected the assessment strategy of the university. So UNISA has always implemented an assessment strategy that allows for continuous monitoring of student improvement through both formative and summative assessment. And in my own module, the goal has remained the same, which is to allow students to gain knowledge and skills throughout the semester and then test these during the exam. I also think that a fully online exam option is actually well suited for testing knowledge and skills because it forces you as a lecturer to create an exam where students need to apply their knowledge and not just memorize facts or copy answers from a study guide when they're completing the exam at home.
Being empathetic to the fact that all students might not have access to internet enables you to scale up your reach and be more inclusive. Also, being frugal in using secured chatting apps to enable student engagement is simply wow. How is student performance managed by UNISA? How do you make sure students are either job ready or ready for entrepreneurship when they go out of UNISA?
That's a very interesting question, Avishek. I think student performance is managed in different ways. So the first is through the learning management system of the university. Here you can customize the learning experience of your students. So in my case, I use what we call a lessons tool to summarize the most important information into 4 weeks. So my module is a semester module. So students really only have a very limited amount of time to work through the content of the guide. And because my module is aimed at first additional language speakers, I want to make sure that they grasp the content and that they feel supported. So the lessons allow them to work through the content of the guide in a structured way. And students also have the option to take part in discussion forums based on these lessons. Then secondly, students can assess themselves by completing the assignments in the module. Personalized feedback is provided to each student, and if a student feels that they are struggling with the content, they can contact me and then I can assist them. We also offer e-tutors that assist students throughout the semester. In my case, students who are not grouped with an e-tutor can complete the same activities and contact me for assistance if they feel it's necessary. In my module, I like to receive feedback on the module throughout the semester. So I make use of a polls option to ask students specific questions. I also use a discussion forum where students can voice concerns and provide feedback on the module as a whole after the semester has ended. And in this way, I can improve aspects of the module if and when necessary. Now, after the second assignment, before the final exam, I also find it helpful to go through the results of the assignment marks and locate those students who seem to be struggling. And this way, I can reach out to assist them before the exam. Now, to ensure my students are job ready, I make sure that I tackle the most important skills they would need on my module level. Now, remember that my module is just one of several they'll have to complete in order to complete a qualification. So I focus on specific skills that will assist them as they progress throughout their qualification and that will assist them when they are actually working in real life.
Polling is such a cool way to gauge what your learners need and what's working and what's not. Personalized feedback is rigorous from the teaching standpoint, but very effective and motivating for students. It's extremely necessary to create a balance wherein your students realize that there is somebody out there who we can reach out to for help. However, that somebody is not overwhelming them with a lot of information all the time. What is the process of evaluating UNISA's curriculum? How do you make sure it remains updated with recent research and need?
The university implements regular reviews of qualifications, programs, and curricula. So these revisions are informed by developments in the world as a whole, but also by innovation and development in a particular discipline. Now, since the academics are also active researchers, it's easy to stay up to date with new information and skills. And in the department where I work, the revision cycle for course content is pretty flexible. I advocate personally for a 3 to 4 year cycle. This means that we have the option to adjust or renew our content every 3 to 4 years. Now, in a language module, such a frequent revision might not be necessary. But for other disciplines, this would be essential. So the process of renewing the content of a module, for example, takes a lot of time. So a more frequent revision, like a yearly revision, for example, would not be feasible in our case. But a 3-year cycle gives you enough time to really determine how students receive and perceive the content of a particular module.
Revisions help keep the courses updated and help students make the transition from academics to corporate or businesses easy. During this transition, have you come across any myths related to online learning that you think it's too important to burst?
Yes, interestingly enough, I think there are 2 contradictory myths concerning e-learning that I have noticed. One is that e-learning is very easy. So basically, perception is that you just create a couple of resources and then you sit back and you don't really do much for the remainder of the term or the semester. And a second myth is that e-learning is extremely difficult to implement and that you actually need specific training in order to provide meaningful e-learning to students. Now, in my opinion, e-learning is about balance and structure. So the moment you have a plan, it's not that difficult to implement. E-learning is also about continuity because the face-to-face interaction is mostly lost in e-learning. You should structure the learning in such a way that students feel a presence, but that they are not overwhelmed by dozens of notifications and emails and tasks per day. So if you create a manageable structure that allows you to create resources throughout the term or semester and allows regular interaction, you should be able to successfully implement e-learning without much fuss.
I want to close this conversation with your opinion. What do you think brick and mortar universities should do to transform themselves partly as an online university under the current circumstances?
Well, I'd like to start off by saying I think my situation is quite different from those who work in a face-to-face setting. So I never have structured classes that I need to switch over to online sessions. But having said that, I do have a suggestion of how this could be done. So my suggestion is what I'm going to refer to as a 3-2 approach. So what I mean by this is that a teacher or a lecturer should select 3 days per week for communication and distributing resources, and then allow students 2 days to work through them. So let's say I select Monday, Wednesday, and Friday as my active days. I would start the week by posting a video or other resource that explains a concept or concepts. I will then include a quiz or some reading that should be completed by the Wednesday. Wednesday could then either include a session via Zoom or a live chat or some sort where the class discusses the content, or it could be a second video or other resources and a quiz to complete by the Friday. I would then end the week by either sending out a follow-up email answering frequently asked questions about the week's work, or a live chat Zoom session, for example, to discuss the work and quiz results with the students. Now, I'm not an expert when it comes to teaching young children, and in that case, the structure might need to look a bit different. However, the point is that if you can get a structure and routine going, students and teachers will start to feel more in control, and they'll be more motivated to take part in the e-learning.
Thank you for your insights, Lisandra. It's been an absolute delight talking to you.
Thank you so much, Avishek. I really appreciate the opportunity.
That was Lisandra Grundling, lecturer of Afrikaans at University of South Africa, sharing her perspective and the way of working of UNISA. Let us know your feedback for this episode at thinkingaloudbyus@gmail.com. See you soon!